Why don't you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm just going to read myself about four verses to start off with. I'm going to read the first four verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. Oh Lord, you know we need you every hour. You know we need you every time the Word of God is preached and every time that you can touch our hearts. And I ask you, Lord, to give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. I ask you to bless every person here. I ask you to draw us close to you. And oh God, we'd love to please you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful care and watch care and love over us. You've been merciful. We've lived under grace. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was reading, and I got a hold of this passage, and I couldn't get away from it, so I hung in there. Timothy is the preacher's son of the Apostle Paul. He wasn't his physical son. He was somebody that he had taught to preach. I don't even know that he led him to the Lord. I mean, probably his mother and grandmother had a part in leading Timothy to the Lord, as he refers to him. But what he did was teach him how to preach. He turned his life around. And Timothy is rated very, very high. Paul even said, writing about this young man here, he's talking here, and I don't know how old he is by now. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own. But what a testimony for Timothy. That the guy that taught him how to preach, taught him his doctrine, could say that about him. That's a tremendous testimony. I have no man like-minded. So, we have two books to Timothy here in the New Testament. And this is the second book, probably the last book that Paul wrote before he died. And he's telling this young preacher how to be a preacher. Boy, that's good advice. Nice to have something like that to tell you a little bit. I remember when I first started preaching, I didn't know how to build a sermon. I didn't know where to get them. I didn't know I had a whole book full of them, you know, with just millions of them that could keep going. He could go back to the same verse. I read about one fellow in the past that he only lived to preach 161 sermons. Every one of them had John 3:16 as his text. That's pretty good. And then he died after preaching on John 3:16 161 times. Interesting fellow. But when I read this, I thought about what a blessing that I found in here. And so I'm going to take a few verses here and give you what came to my mind, what's on my heart. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now you can preach on a lot of things, and a whole lot of different things are going to be preached on today. And all next week, and the next month, they're going to be preaching on the law. They're going to be preaching how you can be good. They're going to be preaching on how to get people into church. They're going to be doing all sorts of things, and boy, some people are just going to have funny stories. They're going to have funny stories. You know what Paul told this guy to do? Preach on grace. Isn't that what he says? Be strong in the grace. You know what grace is? Grace and works. You know what grace is? It's not your merit. It's not how good you are. It's not how much money you give. Grace is what he said. Preach on grace. Man, are we debtors to grace. I don't know. I was raised up in church and went to church at various times, even when I got away from going on a regular basis before I got saved and started to preach. And I don't know how many times I got convicted. I remember when my cousin, first cousin, actually almost like a brother to me, surrendered to preach in the Methodist church. And I sat in the back of that thing and I cried. I just cried because I felt like he was doing what I should have done. And I felt guilty. But it didn't change my life. But you know, I kept on every once in a while. I'd go listen to a good preacher. I'd like somebody that could get up here and bring me conviction and tell me what I ought to be doing and how to do it and that's honest and straightforward and whatever. But one day, that same gospel message that I'd heard over and over again, and that same conviction come, but God's grace was right there and touched my heart. You have an experience like that?
Amen.
Praise God. He said, Timothy, be strong in grace. Now, I'm sure you could probably preach too much grace if you never preached anything else, but let me tell you what. You ought to be strong in grace. You preachers preaching on the street, preach on grace. It's not enough just to preach on sin. It's not enough just to preach on drunkenness and wickedness. Not enough to preach on all the hypocrisy and religion. Hey, man, tell them about the grace of God.
Amen.
I have been living by the grace of God 57 years. What a wonderful blessing has come to my life by the grace of God. Now, you understand what grace is. Grace isn't how you set the table for a dinner. Grace isn't how you treat people in common society. Grace is God blesses you that you don't deserve. Grace is unmerited favor. I'm favorite. I'm one of God's favorite. I'm one of His spoiled children. And I don't deserve it. That's grace. Do you deserve anything you've got? Probably not. Did you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps? Did you make yourself the way you are? No, if you have a real talent in basketball, God gave you that. If you have a talent in math and you can fix a car, God gave you that. Oh yeah, you had to do a little work about it. No doubt about it, but man, some people just have grace.
Amen.
I love to watch somebody play a piano or a guitar or sing or whatever. Hey, well, what did you do? You trained yourself so well? No, you had a talent. You had something God gave you. I sit around in my house right now, Burley, we're old. We're both sick. We don't do everything the way we ought to do it, and we're getting lazier all the time. I'll just confess it. And yet the grace of God's still with us every day. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what. If people are out there thinking that their good works are going to save them, or even that their repentance is going to save them, or they're turning over a new leaf is going to save them. Or them joining the church is going to save them. Or being baptized is going to save them. They're mistaken. If you get saved, it's going to be by grace.
Amen.
And everybody that's saved in this room, it was not because you had anything good in you.
Amen.
You're not better than the rest of your family. You're not better than the rest of your friends.
Amen.
God, in His mercy, in His grace, looked down on a sinner like you who did not deserve any favor, and He favored you to make you His son.
Thank you, Lord.
You know what it tells old Timothy? Preach on grace. Preach on grace. Brag on grace. Tell people to seek God by grace. How would you do that? Lord, I don't deserve you. Lord, I don't deserve any answer to prayer. Lord, I don't deserve any favor. I'm not any better than my family, my friends, the ones I went to school with. I've questioned that a few times in my life. Why me? Why me? At all, pardon me. At all those people that I know that didn't get saved, why me? Grace. That's the answer. It's a Bible answer. And I tell you what, if you're a preacher, you might ought to preach on grace. You might not ought to brag on yourself too much because you may not be that good. Preach on grace. By the grace of God, you are what you are. By the grace of God, you sit alive right here in this room today. By the grace of God, you made 70 or 80 years. By the grace of God, you've still got your health. It's grace. And grace is throughout the Bible. God shows grace and mercy, loving kindness. And we're the recipients of it. And I just praise God every day. I think we ought to do more. I ought to do more praising. I ought to do more thanking.
Amen.
I didn't earn a lot. I worked hard. I'm hard-headed. And I pushed myself all my life. But that's not the reason for the blessings. The blessings come that I did not deserve. The blessings come and they've stayed when I did not deserve them to stay. But the grace of God, preach on grace. Let me tell you what, you ought to pray a little grace too. You ought to thank God for the grace in your life.
Yes,
you ought to look up at God and say, God, I don't deserve this. I don't know how you've been so merciful to me. And I got a wife for 59 years. Oh man, I didn't deserve it. But God gave me grace. How about you? Can you think about the grace of God that's come in your life? Praise God. He tells him, he says, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, in other words, what you've been taught, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, in spreading the gospel, preaching on the streets, passing out tracts, inviting people to church, we invite an awful lot of people that really don't care. And you might say it's wasted time. Not really wasted time, because that's what God wants us to do. We put the gospel out to anybody and everybody. Doesn't matter what race or what country. Doesn't matter whether you're good looking or bad looking. Doesn't matter anybody. All these things don't matter. We want to see people saved. So we want to give the gospel to everybody so they can have what we had. We didn't turn over a new leaf. We prayed to God in repentance and His grace saved our souls. And we're going around now trying to convince somebody else to do that. Do what I've done. It's a blessing. Now notice what he said though. How about spending your time with good men? Now you can spend, all of us spend our time. Now you can spend it with good men or bad men. You can spend it with worthless idiots. Or you can spend it with good men who can teach others also. He said, preacher, Timothy, commit what you know. And you know a lot. You follow around me, you heard all my preaching all these years, and you know what's to be done in the church and whatever. So what you do is commit what you know to faithful men. That means make it a special point. What happens if you teach a teacher? That thought just blesses my heart. What happens when you teach a teacher? Now, out of us, some of us are really good teachers. We teach our own family, or we teach some neighborhood people, or maybe we're professional teachers, whatever. Hey, What a wonderful thing. When you teach the truth to a teacher, it keeps on going. How's the church going to go? Well, you got to get to teaching teachers. Teach somebody that'll teach someone else. Not enough just to teach everybody. All the people who don't care and whatever, and you can spend your time there. That's great. That's evangelism. It ought to be done. But hey, you ought to take some time and teach some teachers. Take some good, solid, sound men who'll take the truth, believe it, accept it, and teach it. Boy, that spreads the gospel. Teach teachers. That's pretty good advice for a preacher. Might not be bad advice for you. You might ought to find somebody who you can teach. Give them the truth. We're always one generation away from atheism. If we don't win the next generation, it's all gone. Amen. As we have had example today, another of our members is retiring. We got a bunch of retired people in here. Me, I'm first, yes. I love it that they pay me not to go to work. It's an amazing thing. Beautiful. I have not been bored. But, at any rate, teach some teachers. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's not just guys that go fishing with you. That's not just guys that go out on a hunting trip. That's not just with somebody that you play games or videos. Not with somebody that you just pile around with work. Hey, take the time to find out some faithful men. Teach them what they need to know, and they'll just keep right on teaching it. That's a beautiful thing. Now, verse 3. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what a soldier is? Soldiers have to be tough. I don't care if they don't look tough. They've got to be pretty tough. They've got to march whether they got blisters or not. They can't sit down on the side of the road and say, I got a blister, dude. Man. When I went into the Air Force, it was right after the Korean War. So, the men that trained me and were over me during my time in the military, although it was a peaceful time, they were veterans of World War II and Korea. They were tough guys. Now, I probably shouldn't say this because it's going to be recorded, but I was standing in line in basic training. And we were all, there's 70 of us in this group. And I was right next to the biggest goof-up in the whole place. He cost us more problems. We had to redo things over just because of him. The whole flight would be on KP duty or something like that. And that TI instructor came up to him, he said, Airman, may I lay my hands on you for corrective purposes? He said, yes, sir! He beat the snot out of him with his fist. He just beat that boy. And I'm saying, I don't know how to answer that question. He didn't goof up much anymore. They were tough. You're going to go in there and think they're going to let you take a night out to go fishing down under the bridge? My grandson, who's had 5 combat tours, Brian, in Iraq and Afghanistan, he was a senior in high school. And he wanted to go fishing with some of his buddies, and my son Eddie told him no. Well, he's a senior in high school. And so he decided, well, I'm just going to quit school. I'm going to go in the Army. And his mother told him, why don't you call Grandpa? And he calls me with this, you know, whiny thing. You know what a teenager's like when they don't get their way. I'm just having it so hard. Daddy won't let me go fishing with my friends over here. I'm going to join the Army. And I said, do you really think that instructor in the Army is going to give you permission to go fishing with your friends? You haven't got a brain in your cotton picking head. Stay in school 3 more months. Get your degree. And he did. Then join the army. Well, he's a good soldier. I have fear for him because too many combat tours brings too much opportunity. He's a soldier. They carry guns. They shoot. They kill people. They have friends get killed beside them. Hardness. Hardness. You think those Roman soldiers were soft men? I don't think so. Do you think they worried if you cried a little bit? I don't think they would pay any attention to your crying. They'd say, well, you stinking little sissy, you wimp. I was raised on a farm that was in Kincaid's name, the Kincaid name and family through since 1837. Two sections in 1837. And I was 5 years old before I really had little boys to play with. I had an older sister, 7 years older than me, and a cousin, 7 years older than me, also a girl. They dressed me up like a baby. They did me all sorts of ways. And they wondered why I paid them back when I got to be a teenager. So we moved to San Antonio. All I've been playing with is 7 year older girls. Well, I moved right next door here in San Antonio to a family that had 2 boys, one the same age as me, 13 days apart, and the other one 2 years older. I was coming in crying every day. Charlie did this. Jimmy did this. And my daddy is just getting really frustrated. And finally he told me, he said, if you come back in here crying again, I'm going to spank you. Well, I was more afraid of my dad than I was of Charlie. So I went out and picked a fight with Charlie, and Charlie never whipped me again. But you remember he had a big brother that would come in and whip me when I whipped Charlie. You know what that'll do for you? A little bit of fighting will do you good because it'll toughen you up a little bit. You don't just cry every time you get a rock in your shoe. You don't just cry and act like a baby because they're going to make fun of you. What do you think they're going to do as soldiers? They're going to make you toe the line. They're going to make you walk faster than you ever walked, walk longer than you ever walked. Walk when you would have not done it otherwise. You got to do it then. Soldiers have to have some toughness. And that's what they're doing in basic training. They're toughening you up. They don't care about your feelings. They don't care about your little hurts. Get the job done. I literally, in basic training, one day was ordered with the other 70 guys that was in the flight, go over to this field, and you picked up rocks. And we hauled those rocks, and we hauled them over to another field, and we spread them out in that field. You know where we went the next day? Back to that field and haul those same rocks back over to where we got them. They're telling you, you do what I tell you to do. You don't think. You're not paid to think. You're just paid to obey. I had a dear friend. He went to work for an automobile factory. The very first day he gets to this high-tech job, they take him out and give him a sledgehammer, and he is beating good fenders to pieces. What? They're training you. You know what? Jesus needs some good soldiers. Not somebody that's going to cry and wimp out just because somebody hurt your feelings. Let me tell you what. You preach for as long as I preach, people are going to hurt your feelings. They're going to say ugly things. They're going to lie. And sometimes when you really do make a mistake and you know it's your fault, oh, they'll rub your nose in it. You're going to have a little bit of toughness in you or you're not going to make it as a preacher. He's telling this Timothy, I want you to be a good soldier. I want you to endure hardness. I don't want you worrying about all these things that bother all sorts of people. You want to please Jesus Christ is what you want to do. You want to please Him who called you to be a soldier. And I tell you what, it's not always easy. There's some men that have gone to jail. There's some men that have been beat up. Some of our missionaries have been beat up. They've been thrown in jail. They've been put in prison. And you know what? They kept on going. They kept on going. They didn't cry and quit. They might have wanted to. But they didn't cry and quit. They endured hardness as a good soldier. And that's what this preacher needed to do. He needed to endure hardness as a good soldier. Now, look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangled himself with affairs of this life. Isn't that true? Soldiers, they can't say, I'm going to stay home. No, you're not. You're going to go 2 years over to Afghanistan or someplace. Or you're going to go down in South America or whatever. And what has the wife got to do? Well, she's got to take care of the kids. She's got to keep the house. She's got to be the disciplinarian and all of these things like that. Hey, that's tough. That's hard on marriages. That's hard on people. And it's hard on the man. He's off in Afghanistan somewhere and he's got a sick kid in San Antonio. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. And then he said here that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Who are you a soldier for? Well, I spent 4 years as a soldier for the United States. Peacetime army. Not any big deal. But you know what? I've been a soldier for Jesus Christ now. A soldier for Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means my rewards are going to be out of this world. It means they don't come right now. Who am I supposed to please? You? I can't please you. I guarantee that's experience as an old preacher. I can please some of you some of the time. But all of you? Never happen. At the same time, I can preach the same sermon, be cussed by one, blessed by another. On the same message. I had a lady one time, they left the church because I said booger. Booger. What did I say before I said booger? Well, I don't know. Don't remember. What did I say after I said booger? Well, I don't know. Well, if I hadn't said booger, you wouldn't have got anything out of the message. Who are we trying to please? You can't please a congregation of people. Let me tell you what, you can't even please one family. I used to try to let my kids pick where we go to eat sometime. I'd say, well, where would you like to go today, Susie? That is a disaster. Even if Susie can pick one, nobody else wants to go there. Don't give them a choice. Just take them in there and put the food in front of them. Say, eat if you're hungry. Amen. What are we trying to do? We're going to please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. My job is to please Jesus. I'm not preaching to please you. I'm preaching to please Jesus. And if I don't please Jesus, my whole ministry is a complete waste. I don't care how successful I can be. I don't care how many people know my name. If I don't please Jesus, I'm wasting my time. And you are too. This advice to this pastor right here, this young preacher, probably down in the city of Ephesus at this time, is good advice for you. Good advice for a mindset. Are you a soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you in His army? Are you on His side?
Amen.
Bless your heart. Choose Jesus.
Amen.
Choose Jesus. Please Jesus. Go on down to verse 14 in this chapter. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. We talk all the time. We argue all the time. We try to prove each other wrong all the time. We try to teach somebody something that maybe they don't know all the time. And we have all of these controversies about words and whatever. He's saying, don't do that. When you're dealing with words, you want to convert the hearer. Don't waste your time just talking and flapping your mouth and putting out your opinions and all it nothing just but a fun. No. He said, have a purpose in your words. What is the purpose? We're out to convert the hearer. We need to get good enough. We need to get smart enough that we can answer the questions that people need to have. We need to come to the place we know the verses in the Bible that will give them the answer to the questions that they have. And why are we doing all this? So that they will change their minds. Didn't you change your mind? Anybody in here change your mind? I did. I've changed it a lot of times by this book. By this book. What's our purpose? Inviting a friend to come to church. You want them to get saved. You want them to find God. You want that grace of God to touch their heart like He touched yours. So what is our purpose and what is our prayer? He's telling this pastor, your purpose and your prayer is to convert the hearers. What you want to do is bring them around to God's side, to God's doctrine, what the Word of God has to say. Look at verse 15. I know it's a famous verse that you know very well. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've heard some arguments in my time by people who did not know what they were talking about. They really did not know. They had no idea what the Bible said. They just thought. They just had an opinion. They just had the way they were raised. They just had what their religion taught them. Well, you know what God says right here? You ought to be studying about something. Now, I know some of you don't like to read. You don't like to study. You were so happy to get out of school, you never wanted to go to another class again. I do understand, believe me. I made the honor roll until I was in the ninth grade, and after that it was girls, cars, and football. Nothing else mattered. I understand. I really do. After I got saved, I had a lot of fun in college. I studied and read and whatever, had a ball. But that wasn't what I was like in 9, 10, and 11, 12. Tell you what, people, we need to study the Bible. You need to study it so you know it. Yeah, it's going to take some effort. You're going to have to knock out the television a little bit. You're going to have to knock out maybe going out with all your buddies. You might have to knock out certain other things, too. You might have to put some effort out to actually read the book. I believe an awful lot of Christians in our day, if they read the book, they read 4 or 5 verses a week. If you just read 3 chapters a day, you'd read the book through in a year. And some of you can read a whole lot better than that. You know what your problem is? You're not interested.
Amen.
You don't care.
Amen.
You don't care if you got it right. He's telling this preacher, study the Word. You want to rightly divide the Word. Billy has been through this month dividing the Word. What's New Testament? What's Old Testament? What's Jesus' new doctrine? His new light on things. Praise God, He is light. Study the Word. You know what study is? It's work. It is work. You have to put some effort out. You have to deny yourself some other things. But listen to me, sweet people. Every preacher that you come across is not going to have good doctrine. I'm sorry. I wish I could say it better. But an awful lot of them, they don't even care about doctrine. All they care about is numbers. But everything I read in this book says pay attention to doctrine. Everything that Paul puts out, pay attention to what the Word says. Study so you'll be approved by God by rightly dividing the Word. Remember, all your rewards aren't over here. You may not be voted the most likely to succeed. Please Him who calls you to be a soldier. Study. Rightly dividing the Word. One more. Go to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 24. This is such sound advice, you ought to memorize it. And the servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? Are you a servant of the Lord? Do you belong to Him? Are you a soldier in His army? Are you on His side?
Amen.
Are you out for converts? And a servant of the Lord must not strive. Too many times we get in fights. Too many times we get in stupid arguments that mean nothing. Too many times we waste our opportunities because we're striving to win or whatever. But be gentle unto all men. Now, not all men are gentle. Some of the people you go up against, they're smart alecks. They'll push your buttons. But he said, gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Hey, we need some men that have studied the Word enough they can teach it. Apt to teach. Patient. You know what patience is? It's putting up with delays without losing your temper. It's putting up with stupidity without losing your temper. It's putting up with incompetence without losing your temper. Most of us aren't patient, are we? Patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You can see it. They can't see it. The moves they make, the thoughts they give you, the reasons they live by are absolutely in opposition to their own good. Man, I don't know how many times. Teenage kids, even grown people, old people. I've seen old people stupid. Gray hair and bald head does not mean you necessarily have wisdom. Not necessarily. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now notice this phrase right here. It ought to catch your imagination. If God peradventure. You know what? I've been preaching a long time. I've preached a lot of sermons. I preach 4 a day in revival meetings. 6:30 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 4:30 in the afternoon, and 7 at night. And just go for weeks like that. You know something? I have met a lot of foolish people that oppose themselves.
Amen.
And yet every once in a while, just every once in a while, I just fall upon somebody who says, wow.
Amen.
Oh, they're scarcer now than they used to be. They used to be more than they are today. But yeah, they're still coming. They're still coming. They're still getting saved. There's you. There's your family. There's your kids. You've been opposing yourself. You defend stupid things. You defend a lifestyle that will never do you any good.
Amen.
I've talked to drug addicts and alcoholics. I can quit anytime I want to, they tell me. Well, why don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And before long, they're down in the gutter. The family's gone. The job's gone. The health is gone. But they wouldn't listen to you. Instruct instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's the way it happened to me. I heard it for years. I had a Bible in my house. I just didn't spend any time reading it. I knew some solid Christians. But most that I knew were just pretty run-of-the-mill. Not much different than me. And one day, peradventure, luck of the draw. No, it's not luck. It's the grace of God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
I sat in a church, and the preacher's way up here at the pulpit, and I was way back at the back. But he was talking to me. I don't know how many other in that congregation were there, but he was talking to me. And I knew he was talking to me. Peradventure, if God give them repentance. Every time I preach, I pray, peradventure, there's one here that'll repent. If the will of God be so, there's one here that'll receive Christ. Give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. My Christian friend, I do believe most of you are called to be teachers. To somebody. You need to take what you know and pass it along to somebody. Those of you that are preachers, definitely that's your job. You ought to be doing it all the time. Every time you preach, there ought to be teaching in it. And every time you teach, there ought to be some preaching in it. There ought to be mixed up. That God could peradventure reach down and touch somebody's heart. And they'd get out of their chair, go down here, get on their knees, and cry out to God for a change. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you've been playing religion for a long time. Maybe you've been ignoring what God said for a long time. Maybe you're just half-hearted in the fight. You're not really a good soldier. You don't even know who you're trying to please. I wonder what would happen if the church repented of their laziness, of their lack of concern, of their lack of thanksgiving to God who in His grace and mercy has saved their souls and changed their lives and their eternity. I wonder what would happen if the church repented. But you just may be here and you're not saved and you know it. Has God spoken to you? It's possible. Oh, I tell you what, I come to believe a long time ago if I'd preached this book, the Holy Spirit would touch people with it. That's my only hope. You know, we're not trying to give pony rides to get people to come. We're not trying to give away $20 bills on church buses to get people to come. We don't have a whole lot of things. All we have and all we wanted from the start was preach the Word of God. Teach and preach the Word of God and let God the Holy Spirit use it. I have no other purpose than to take this book, study it till I know what it says, and explain it, and then apply it. That's my job. Been my job a long time. I'm not confused on what I'm supposed to do. Are you here today? And God has spoken to your heart? Man or woman, boy or girl, if God's spoken to your heart, surrender to Him. Best day of my life, bar none, is when I let Jesus save my soul and change my life. Let's sing number 235. Let's stand. Just sing it.